8:07 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Thursday style. Glad y'all are here. Talking to you this hour at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, our text line. Hopefully, we'll get a double shot of Rob Holpert. Had him yesterday for the midday show, and he hopefully will join us at 8:30 this morning here on Mobile Mornings. But I'd love to talk to you. Once again, put that in the speed dial, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, a reminder, put this in a the vehicle where you can plug in the number, not even for the phone. I finally got to have a new vehicle right now, and I can plug in addresses there, and then instead of doing it in my, I'm not tech unsavvy, but I've been doing it in my phone for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. Go to Google Maps and put it in. Mm-hmm. But now I can just punch it in on the vehicle and have it take me there. I would punch in Original Oyster House.
Yes.
Like I need directions to get there. But if for some reason, because I am starting to forget stuff, if I forgot how to get down to the causeway and get there, I could plug that in and
That's
take
muscle
me.
Memory right there.
It really is. And then the muscle memory of eating the shrimp when I get there. Hey, foot of 59 in Gulf Shores or my location where I can pull my boat up when I'm on the causeway at the causeway location of the Original Oyster House. Great place to go with you, the family. All by yourself, bring friends in from out of town. They want seafood. This time of year, any time of year, people come here. I know Kelly has family in, and people come from elsewhere, and they go, oh, y'all got seafood? Go, yeah, we got seafood. Take them to the best. The Original Oyster House with those great views, the great service, and the great food. More details online. You want to check out the menu ahead of time because you're just that kind of a planner. That's fine. I'm not here to judge you. I'll give you the website where the menu is as well, originaloysterhouse.com. All right, 808. A couple things I want to run through here. First of all, horse racing. Haas racing. Mm-hmm. You hear that story there during the top of the hour news from Westwood One and talking some Haas racing. And this one here, it's about a horse, but it's also about...
A horse is a horse?
Of course. unless it's George Soros.
George Soros?
What?
Okay, so the story from the New York Times, a secretive owner of Triple Crown contender Justify is George Soros. Hey, can we get political ad guy for George Soros? Can you have him say George Soros?
George Soros.
Okay, George Soros. Sorry. All right. So George. So
you know people.
So we're talking about a horse owned by
George Soros.
Secretive owner of the Triple Crown contender Justify is George Soros, according to Melissa Hoppert and Matthew Goldstein with the New York Times. It said, if the strapping chestnut colt Justify wins the Belmont Stakes on Saturday to become just the 13th horse in history to claim horse racing's Triple Crown, two of the three groups that have an ownership stake in the horse's breeding rights will be front and center during the celebration. Windstar Farm, one of North America's leading thoroughbred racing and breeding operations, owns 60% of Justify's breeding rights. Now, it is interesting you getting to horses. It's almost like land. Like you can own the land but not own the mineral rights. Mm-hmm. You can have a farming lease and not own the land. You can have the weight. Well, it seems like with horses, you can own percentages of the horses, but you can also own percentages of breeding rights.
And that's where the money is, the breeding rights.
For sure. Mm-hmm. China Horse Club, get this, so 60% of Justify's breeding rights owned by this Windstar Farm. China Horse Club owns 25%. A third group, a secretive entity that holds the remaining 15%, will remain out of the spotlight because it vigorously avoids any public attention. It's a company controlled by top employees of billionaire investor
George Soros.
Mr. Soros' connection to Justify, which has not been previously reported, has garnered little notice in the sport despite the horse's rousing success in the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes because his group tries to operate almost invisibly. Several officials who sit atop one of the biggest owners in stallion equity in the world declined to comment about Mr. Soros' involvement in horse racing through his fund. Mr. Soros' investment firm, Soros Fund Management, is behind SF Bloodstock and SF Racing Group. All right, so Soros Fund Bloodstock and Soros Fund Racing Group, an international breeding and racing operation started in 2008. Executives from the investment firm oversee the breeding and horse ownership business. Gavin Murphy, an Australian based in New York, who has served as the Soros Fund's longtime tax counsel, is the manager of SF Bloodstock and SF Racing Group. Christopher Naughton, chief financial officer for the Soros Fund's family office, is the president of SF Bloodstock and SF Racing Group, according to corporate filings. Tommy Ryan, okay, we're go to central casting here. We're going to do something about horse racing. Tommy Ryan, an Irishman based in Lexington, Kentucky, is the team's bloodstock agent. So what it boils down to is when you're watching Justify, now there's a bunch of different people. It's not Justify is not owned entirely by
George Soros.
But a George Soros fund owns 15% of the breeding rights of Justify.
Man, that probably changes a lot of people's opinions on who they want to win this race this weekend. I'm sure of it.
That's why I'm bringing this up, because people are going to go, you got to be kidding me. But no, I'm not. And get this, okay. What kind of money are we talking about? Because let's get down to what we're interested in. The money in these race horses.
Waiting patiently.
Just days after Justify won the Preakness, chatter began to surface about a $60 million deal with rival farm Coolmore for his breeding rights. Now, it's not owning the horse. It's getting the money for stud, $60 million to buy that portion of the rights. The deal is believed to include a bonus of about $25 million if he were to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Now, I was a communications major, English minor, didn't spend much time in the math building, but that adds up to $85 million at this point.
But you know what a stud is.
Yes, well, I've been told. They said, so $85 million if he wins the Triple Crown, and it would allow the partners to retain some shares and lifetime breeding rights in the horse. They said they agreed to the deal before the Preakness, and now they're waiting to see what happens in the last race here. Henry Field, head of SS Newgate Farm, not Newgate, but Newgate Farm, Eden Harrington, vice president of the China Horse Club, are graduates of the Darley Flying Start Program, a management and leadership training program for the industry, have all worked in multiple farms here. And they say here, remember American Pharaoh, that horse?
Yeah.
American Pharaoh, who in 2015 became the first horse in 37 years to sweep the Triple Crown, stands as Coolmore Farms. Coolmore Farms is trying to buy the breeding rights from Windstar and the Soros Group and all that. It says Coolmore Farms, they own Coolmore Farms in Versailles, Kentucky. Or actually, how do you say it? Is it Versailles? They don't say Versailles.
Is it Versailles? I'm not sure.
Kentucky folks, I don't want to screw that up, because I'm actually somebody who appreciates how you say names
and I have
how
some
folks there say it.
I have some Kentucky family. I'll have to put out a word.
Because, I mean, you'd say Versailles, but it's I think it's Versailles, Kentucky, the way they pronounce it. Is it Versailles? There we go. I didn't think about it. Mark Holliday here. Versailles, I'm right? Okay, Versailles. There we go. Thank you. He then shuttles, they shuttle from there in Versailles, Kentucky to an Australian farm for breeding season. So the horse is flown. This is American Pharaoh, Triple Crown winner. He does his stuff, his good work.
Adulting, yes.
He and Sheehan. He does that there in Kentucky during part of the year. Then they put him on a plane, first class, I'm sure.
And after he's heed and hawed.
That's right. And then he goes down under, goes to Australia for the fall breeding season. The fall breeding season.
Can you imagine what he tells his friends? Like, hey, I've been picked.
I'm living the life, y'all. They said in the past couple of years in the U.S., he was commanding $200,000 per live foal that stands and nurses. I guess that's how they judge how productive. Producing an average of 150 live foals during the breeding season in Kentucky. So that's half his year. I mean, y'all go ahead. If there's 150 little horses, and he's getting $200,000 an encounter.
Wow.
They produce.
You are on a roll today. You're just galloping along.
That's right. American Pharaoh, by the way, is racking up, they said, about $35 million in stallion fees in a year.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. And they only race for such a small portion of their life that the rest of their life is all breeding and just hanging out.
Where did I miss the sign up for that? All right, so there you go. So you have a horse racing story and a story about
George Soros.
All in one.
And may I suggest, if you want to pick another horse that you'd like to root for this weekend, if the whole Soros thing throws you away, off.
You don't want to cheer on Justify because of George Soros.
The horse Gronkowski racing in the Belmont Stakes.
You call it Gronk or Gronkowski?
His full name is Gronkowski, but much like the player for the New England Patriots, you can just call him Gronk.
George Soros.
Gronkowski. Right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 on this Friday Eve, Little Friday. Some people call it Thursday. That's fine. I'm not going to dog them out for that. Take your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. You came by and visited with us yesterday doing the midday show live from the Mobile Public Library. You brought your lovely mother with you and no one else, because while the Miata has a lot of great things going for it, hauling a bunch of folks is not its forte.
No, you have to, it's like Duck Duck Goose, you know what I mean?
Who gets to ride with Kelly? Yes.
Right. Yeah, my mom is in town from Michigan, and so as you know, I originally called this the Newlywed Mobile, right? Mm-hmm. But I took to Twitter and have renamed it. It's transformed into the Mamas Are Zoomin' In Mobile.
It's an ongoing process.
This is the 2018 MX-5 Miata RF Grand Touring. This is a head-turner, a two-seater drop top. Only takes 13 seconds. That's just the coolest feature to me. Whether you're putting the top down because it's hot outside or putting it up because here comes the rain. We know what that's like here in Mobile. We have been zooming around town having such a great time. Do you know that my mom loves this heat, okay? She loves...
Because she lives in Michigan.
This is true.
And so this is a novelty.
I know. I said, Mom, are you sure? Yeah, she put the top down. I love this. Because, you know, with the humidity, I mean, it's like 100 degrees outside.
Oh, I do know, yes.
So when I call this a head turner yesterday, a construction worker, this was so funny.
Oh, tell me, did y'all get the...
No, listen. He said, what is that? Is that some sort of transformer or something?
You're talking about the fact you could hit the button in 13 seconds and put the roof up or down.
He was mesmerized. He was definitely mesmerized.
Oh, yeah, by the car, I'll post video
of the top going up and down, and you'll understand. And then yesterday, of course, at the Ben May Library, there's a woman working security. She walked around the car two or three times and said, I love this. When I retire, now I know how I'm going to spend my money. Okay. And then last but not least, last night we were downtown with the kiddos, and of course my husband had them in a different car. There's a couple walking, holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped their hands and said, what is that? I said, that's a Miata. They said, no, it's not. I said, this is the 2018 Miata.
Yep.
My goodness. I mean, they said it's beautiful, just beautiful. So lots of great compliments. It's fun. It's flirty. I've given you all the attributes from the digital readout to the Bluetooth, how you can use your Bluetooth, make your phone calls. Sleek leather interior, and it's beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful. Hop online on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Kelly K2K Finley, where you can see videos, you can see pictures, and you can understand why, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, this two-seater, ooh, it's a bad boy. You need to go visit the all-new Dean McCrary. You can call 471-DEAN. You can hop online, or you can do both. Tell them we sent you. They're on the East Service Road of I-65.
All right. 825 FM Talk 106.5. I'm going to throw this story into the mix before we get into some more politics. I'm going to throw this into the mix quickly because you're talking about head turning or not head turning. And a term that I learned from my friend Dalton, that we're talking about goofy things that I wear. Like, it was people way back, they were picking on me because of my New Balance tennis shoes.
Right, yes.
And they said that I wear dad tennis shoes. I said, well, I'm a dad, so I wear all kinds of shoes, but my New Balance were on in some picture or something, and then people were ganging up on me that I wear like dad clothing. I wear like dad shorts, and I wear dad New Balance and dad t-shirts.
You could be called worse. I mean, come on, being a dad, that's awesome.
Well, bunch of bullies out there.
Right, they're picking on me for,
they're dad shaming you?
Dad shaming, well, but then you said, then Dalton mentioned dad bod. And I was not familiar with dad bod at that point.
Uh-huh.
Now I see more and more stories about dad bod, and I'm starting to get, I'm pretty happy about this. New survey out. Dad bod guys, listen here. 2/3 of women say they'd rather marry someone with a dad bod than someone with six-pack abs.
That's good snuggling material.
That's what they say here. 83% of ladies surveyed think guys with dad bods are more confident. 62% say they're sexier. They say, so I'm going to say, first of all, before we go further in the story, go ahead and have seconds at lunch and dinner, guys.
I had to think about that. I was like,
Don't count the calories.
That's right. According to the new survey, so the women that say they would rather marry someone with a dad bod than someone with the six-pack abs. And get this, okay, shockingly, men are cool with the idea of eating whatever they want instead of keeping a super fit body. So we're okay with that part, too.
Women are, too. Just understand.
It's 21% of men admit in the survey that they have a dad bod. 62% of them say giving in and having one has improved their lives.
To me, what's sexy?
What's that?
Like all caps sexy?
You hear the two men in the room like, woman says...
Tell me.
We're writing... Hold on. Let me get my pen.
Yeah. A dad who takes care of his children, a dad who takes care of his family, a dad who takes care of his wife.
And has second? Could he have seconds at dinner?
He can have whatever he wants.
All right.
I have a theory on this. On this, and the women are saying, you know, more to snuggle with.
Yeah,
that's a good excuse, but
I think they can lay their head. They can lay their head on your stomach as a pillow versus like the rock hard abs would not be as good.
Is it possible? Let me just put this out there. Is it possible that women like having a man that they're married to that maybe isn't the fittest because they don't have to worry as much what's going on?
This man speaks the truth
outside of the home.
Stop, because no matter your size, if you've got it going on, you've got it going on.
It's all about the confidence, huh?
Absolutely. Get that absolutely.
I get jokes. Come on, guys. So there you go. So dad bods are back in style.
See, I thought you were going to mention the dad core, the fashion thing that we were talking about.
That's because you started that too, y'all. Now, to explain this, because I guess I'm guilty of dad core fashion.
Well, we always talk about, you know, fashion goes in cycles. The 70s will come back, and then people are wearing things that they wore in the 80s. Well, I noticed one thing.
Steve Cavaricci.
I noticed a few things, and I'm not like, you know, watching the new runway fashion stuff, but news stories come through to me, and I saw that one of the most popular new fashions is called dadcore.
Okay.
And it's young guys, 20 to 30 years old.
Y'all Google this. I did the other day. Y'all Google this.
Putting on the most dad-like fashion they can, and it's all of a sudden become fashionable. So, Sean, you're actually, you know, starting a trend.
Right.
Or you and the dads wearing the New Balances and all these other...
Like, you see the people... I went and Googled this when we talked about it, and I saw the pictures. I said... They're paying big money for stuff like I wear the stupid hiking shorts, like hiking shorts and some New Balance and a T-shirt or something. That's dad core.
Some loafers and khaki shorts.
Right,
and
that's dad core.
And
that's
a polo.
Basically, the Mitt Romney.
Oh, the polo thing. They're like, it is. See these
preppy
young
preppy
people
dad.
Are like, wow, this is a weird kind of crazy thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wear a short sleeve polo, and you know, all of us guys in the South.
It's like
said,
a uniform.
That's what we wear.
It's basically, you know, Mitt Romney dressed like him, or Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, you know, the dad in Malcolm in the Middle. Mm-hmm. That is basically dadcore. And nobody believes me when I say dadcore is the new fashion thing, but it is. You can Google it.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Coming back, joined by Rob Holbert from Lanyap. I hope we'll get to
He's
talk to
dad.
Him.
He's a dad. I want to know what he wears.
He wears some dadcore himself. And also, you know, we're kind of going through page by page yesterday, results from Tuesday's primary. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories to stand out is what's happened in the Baldwin County Commission races. I mean, there were...
Oh, yeah.
It's not good for the incumbents. I had people texting me yesterday, said it's because of the 1 cent sales tax. We'll talk about that as well coming up. No real good life from drinking, been lured by one of them. Size 14, 16, 18, 22, 24, in style again. I mean that big butt cutie back in style again. Yeah, had no...
Good morning, 8:36 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. So you may have seen some of those recent reports from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
I love reading those.
Yeah, they're awesome. Oh, well, especially this month, the report, because it said that for the first time in the American economy, there are more job openings than available workers. And maybe you're one of those employers looking to hire some new employees. If so, you should know that hiring the right person can have a major impact on your business, and it's crucial that you make sure your job post, when you're looking for help, reaches the most qualified candidates. You could post on some of those other job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see it? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn's a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, their recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now you can go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Let's talk to our buddy Rob Holbert with Lanyap online at lanyapmobile.com. And nappy voting, how long do we have now in the nappy voting?
Until the 10th, Sean.
I am voting right
midnight
now.
On the 10th.
So let me ask, I have not said anything in a while. We appreciate y'all's votes. Please vote nappies.com in the media section.
Yeah, I'm on it right now. I'm voting DJ Naked Him, best voice.
Well, there
Guess
we go.
Who's in the running for that? La di da.
It's an honor.
Yes.
y'all are sitting with someone who once appeared on the cover of the paper.
Yeah.
Naked, you know.
Sean.
He's gone a long way since those days.
But well, I mean, that's how... Hey,
cap on, and it was a great photo.
That's
Rubber
how Madonna...
Ducky, you're
that's
the
how,
one.
Well, that's how Madonna got her start, you know?
That's exactly right.
So, same thing for me. Had to do some dudes.
Like a virgin.
I had to work my way up the showbiz ladder from my early nude days. Yes, y'all, that is... And it's available. And that, actually, that picture's here. It's not on the wall, but it's actually here at the office.
Sure.
The big full-size one. All right, Rob, lots to talk about here other than the nappies, and I want to get into a couple things. First of all, you offered a warning in the latest Lanyap to motorists in Mobile County.
Well, yeah, I'm teaching my teenage son to drive.
God bless you.
He read my column last night, and I was giving him a hard time, but he did laugh at some parts of it, so it was okay. But, yes, I'm teaching a teenager to drive. That's not an easy thing.
No, and I know that from my dad teaching me to drive, there was a divot on the other side, in the passenger side, where he was pushing the brake, the imaginary brake, to try to make the vehicle stop.
It wasn't a training car. It doesn't work like that.
Right. He was just mashing down an imaginary brake pedal. So, God bless you,
my
Rob.
My car doesn't have the traditional, you know, the emergency brake you can just rip up out of the floorboard, you know. And it's got this button, which just doesn't... I don't have a feeling of comfort. I want that thing where he's about to plow over the neighbors and I can, you know, yank it straight up. But we'll see. He's doing well, actually. He's doing very well.
Well, good. Good deal. I also want to talk about a cover story here. You and I talked about it a little bit yesterday during Midday Mobile. Kind of doing a recap here, year one for charter school.
Yeah. It's a good look at the school. You know, they've had their first year. You know, they've got... Obviously, since it's the first year, they don't have really historical information to look at. But you know, they had some benchmarks they set for themselves. Some they achieved, some they didn't. But, you know, there's some really great stories. One of them is the valedictorian from school this year. She was somebody who had gotten epilepsy and dropped out of high school and really kind of thought things were over for her in that regard and ended up going back to the school. You know, obviously did well and ended up with a scholarship at Spring Hill. So they kind of turned her life around, and I think that's their goal, a lot of these kids. It's a really interesting story and a good look at what, you know, what's going on out there.
And what is going on as we talk about charter schools, and it seems to, you know, come up as a political debate, but I do, and I'm not saying this just for effect, I don't understand what all the beef is. If you have a system, you're going to test something out that helps children learn and accomplish more. What's the problem?
You know, I think, as we discussed yesterday, I think it gets into a little bit of a turf battle. I think it gets into, you know, the attitude is, look, this is taking money from, because it is public money. These are public schools, you know, so they take money, I think it's about $9,000 per student or something along those lines that they get for teaching these children. And but for the most part, these are kids who are out of the system already. Mm-hmm. They've fallen out of the system. So I don't know. That's, you know, there's always two sides of the story, and people who are against charter schools have their arguments about that. But you know, so far this year, the people involved with this school feel like it's doing really well, and I think the story shares a lot of the accomplishments they've had, and you know, in some areas, and they're very honest about some of the areas where they want to improve.
You know, part of this is, and I would love, seriously, open conversation down the road for people who say the charter schools are a bad idea. I'd love to learn from them why. But, I mean, where I look at it, you do a lot of things. You think about government programs. There's one program they're doing, but they're testing something else. And they do spend money, taxpayer money. If in doing charter schools and doing things differently, if they find out that something else works better than what they're already doing, then isn't that a benefit to the whole school system if you then could implement that, bring that back into the school? It seems like, and I don't want people to get freaked out because it's kids. It's not like a full laboratory. They're right. they're still learning the same things, but if you teach in a different way and all of a sudden you go, you know what, this works better than what we're doing over here in the school system, I think that's a win. I guess I miss, you know, I miss why that wouldn't be a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, these are about 200 kids this year who went to the school and you know, to excel, and it, you know, one of the things it does, it helps them if they've got a more flexible schedule, the learning is sort of, is can learn at their rate. You know, some of the kids are able to go through several courses of math much quicker because they accomplish one, they move to the next. Some are going to have to stay on this one for the whole year because they didn't have the skills coming in. You know, they were, you know, at a fifth grade level when they came in. So there's all that kind of thing, stuff that goes on with it, and it is it's really designed to help those people who are falling through the cracks, more or less.
All right.
And maybe it just, you know, I think when you hear the complaints about it, it's usually that it's public money is the number one complaint. Well, okay, but if these kids were in school, they'd be getting public money as
correct.
Well. So I don't know why that's a big difference. And then there's, you know, maybe there's an issue, just does it make people think it makes them look bad that they're not able to handle these kids? I don't know, you know. But the school system isn't meeting all those needs.
All right, another story we talked about yesterday, and this is one of the, as we're doing the deep dive in the results from Tuesday's primary votes and kind of sussing out different parts of it, one of the stories shows up in Baldwin County and shows up with the Baldwin County Commission. And as you and I went through those votes yesterday, looking how that went down, other than one, you have one person who was an incumbent who held on. I mean, others are in runoffs or lost, or there wasn't an incumbent in the seat. I mean, it was a pretty tough vote, not just for one individual commissioner, up and down the board.
Yeah, it was, and I think there's, you know, I think you touched on it earlier, that the tax, 1 cent tax, I think obviously must have a big part in that. I think it seems like the most common denominator when you look at it. I think there's other issues. There are other things going on. There's been a constant complaint over there about business ties between some of the commissioners and people in the community. There's also the whole issue of one group, this Catalyst group, running certain people, and you know, there's been a lot of complaints about that. A lot of activity, especially on blogs and things like that. Arguing against them. There's sort of these two forces fighting over there in Baldwin County, but when you look at it, it's pretty strange. I told you, I texted my guys the other night when we were doing stuff on the election. I said, you know, hey, the big story may be that the entire county commission is going to be flipped over in Baldwin. So, you know, watch this thing. It's getting close to looking that way. And Gruber got back in by the skin of his teeth, but you know, Dorsey's in a runoff and he finished second in votes by a decent amount, and that's not a great place to be as an incumbent. I'm not saying he will definitely lose, but I'm just saying he's got an uphill battle, and longtime Commissioner Frank Burt lost. So you know, you've got those are all pretty surprising.
Yeah, I mean, you point out the skin of his teeth. I mean, I think, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think Gruber won by 1%. Wasn't it like a 51-49%? So I mean, it was almost a full sweep there for the
county. Yeah, he was down a good bit of the night. You know, when they were coming in, as things were coming in, he was down, and you thought, okay, well, these guys are all down. And at some point, you know, Tucker Dorsey's, you know, in with a good percentage of the ballots coming in, the precincts coming in, Dorsey was actually below, was his opponent had over 50%. So at some point, it looked like, wow, these guys are, there's not even going to be a runoff for some of these. But, you know, there are runoffs, but it's going to be challenging, I think, when you look at that, just typically from a political standpoint. That's not where you want to be as an incumbent.
Also, one of the other stories, there's a lot of stories that stand out after Tuesday, but another one that you and I admitted yesterday, just mathematically, we missed, and that is District 99, filling in the House seat of Buskey. Nine people running in an individual race. Just odds are, I mean, if you sit there and you didn't know who was in it.
They had a full baseball team.
They had a full baseball team. You would say there's going to be a runoff. I don't care who the names are. If you tell me there's nine people running for whatever township, New Jersey, I say, well, there'll be a runoff. There's not. In fact, no runoff and a very decided win for Sam Jones. Yep. I think 57% of the vote.
Yeah, he spanked him. He beat him. I have to use the joke again. Come on. He's running against Herman Thomas.
He spanked him.
But, he spanked him. But the, yeah, I mean, it was a massive win. I would not have expected that. I certainly expected Sam to be the top vote getter in that, but I did not expect to see no runoff. I mean, that's, like you said, I mean, if you say it's dog catcher, anything, you get nine people running. I mean, unless they're all just nine, you know, there's one person who's an incumbent and there's eight completely crazy people, you would say there's going to be a runoff.
You'd say bow wow, well, yippee-o, yippee-ay.
Yeah, I mean, there were plenty of good candidates.
Right. I mean, there were not
like, you know, these people, there were plenty of fine, upstanding citizens who were good candidates.
And that had pretty strong political names. And still.
Greg Harris got the endorsement of the New South Coalition as top of that. So you would say, wow, that there's going to be something there. But that was a big win for Sam Jones.
I mean, I thought that was huge. Yeah, that was another one of the stories that stood out to me. And I guess other than that, it's been, you know, sadly, I've not been watching the city council nearly as much with all the stuff going on in the state cycle. But I know they're getting ready to talk more about the new contract for the Wave Transit system.
Yeah, they're working on that and you know, working on some alternatives to that. You know, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on around town, Sean, too. I don't know if you're aware, but, you know, in Fairhope, Karen Wilson's talking about reforming the city government.
Yeah, help me with that, because, I mean, we had the police chief saying, you know, he was going to leave, the members of the Fairhope City Council saying they would not take his resignation letter, they wanted him to stay. This has been, I don't know if slow burn is actually the right term, it might have just been a continued big burn going on in Fairhope. I'm not used to hearing about all this drama out of Fairhope since Karen Wilson was elected.
I've sort of watched Fairhope as this sort of, like, tiny, like, dental mirror of the White House. You know, it's always a you know, there's all these wild things going on all the time. But, you know, Chief Pettis was supposed to, quote-unquote, retire, and then there was a big blowout on Monday that before the city council. You know, they went down there, and the council stood up, and they refused to take his.
We lost Rob. Rob, you there?
That's a cliffhanger right there.
Wow. what he was going to say is they refused to take his resignation letter. And that
I was afraid that voice was going to come back from the horse story.
Oh yeah, well there's always a chance you have the voice of whom?
George Soros.
Might have just shut that down. I'm not sure. Thank you, Rob. You pick up Rob's and Ashley's publication, 1,300 locations throughout Mobile and Baldwin counties, online at lanyapmobile.com, and vote in the nappies right now. VoteNappies.com. Thank you, Kane. 855 FM Talk 1065. Looking for a fun Thursday night. Tonight, another great event, a Cottage Hill Package, welcoming Kayla from Red Clay Brewing Company out of Opelika, part of the Auburn Opelika Metroplex. They're bringing their halftime Hefeweizen, 53 Kolsch style, their Southern Renegade Southern style ESB, McKenzie Scotch style ale to Cottage Hill Package tonight for us to sample. You get to sample those great craft beers, and also you get to show off your spelling chops with their adult spelling bee. It's back, and it's a lot of fun. Enjoy a drink, enjoy those samples of the beers, and check out the spelling bee as well. And while you're there, with Father's Day coming up, is Dad looking as a cigar fan? What a huge humidor they have. They're big enough that they have their own tobacconist to show you around in there, give you some suggestions for cigars. And that's always good for me because I am not a cigar smoker, but there's a lot of family members that like that. And so I can go and say, okay, they like this kind of cigar. They go, okay, we'll try this, this, and the other. Also, great selection, of course, of craft beer, spirits, and wines. And always a good time at these special events they do. 6 o'clock tonight, it is Red Clay Brewing and the Adult Spelling Bee. We'll see you there. Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, and find them on Facebook. Cottage Hill Package. Speaking of the Facebooks, if you go over to facebook.com/FM Talk 1065, you get the details, all the deets. Mm-hmm. When people say deets, Is it too long of a word to say?
That's the laziest thing I've ever heard. Give me some merch.
Yeah, God forbid you say an extra syllable or two.
Time to start saying tails instead. Just leave out the details.
Tails. Duh.
That's a whole other ball game.
The details or the deets or the tails or whatever, they're online at facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Also our website, FMTalk1065.com, our Instagram page, Twitter as well. And it is the Summer Better Than Others prize giveaway. You know, we do these chances for you, these showcases to win throughout the year, and we're just pointing out here, some are better than others, of course, a play on summer, but actually also a play on the fact that I think our contests are better than others because you're competing against people right here at home. All our winners in the 9-year history of FM Talk 106.5 have been local winners. You're not competing against people from far-flung locations. Somebody right here in Mobile Baldwin County will win. It could be you. $5,500 in the grand prize. Big thank you to our sponsors, Cart Doctor, Goldfingers, Grey Gulf Charters, Carrot Patch, Old Time Feed, Mike Ward's Liberty Saves, all that together in the big prize package that you can see when you go to our Facebook page or our website, Instagram page as well. Check it out there. Get all the details online. All right, what?
No, what? I was actually coughing.
Oh, okay.
But you do hear details or details.
Just emphasis on different syllables, my friend. All right, Laura Ingram next. We'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile.